You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. President Donald Trump recently declared a national emergency on opioids. Those are the prescription drugs used for managing pain. Too often, people have become addicted to them. When they can't get prescriptions anymore or buy them from the black market any longer, some addicts have switched to heroin. The epidemic is killing people, something like 90 people a day in the U.S. While the nation is coming to grips with this opioid crisis, researchers at the University of Michigan have started a group to reduce opioid addiction in this state. Dr. Chad Brummett is the director of the Division of Pain Research at the University of Michigan. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you have a new organization called Michigan Open, which stands for Opioid Prescribing Engagement Network. You want to cut opioid use in Michigan in half. Where do you start?
Sure. So our group is really focused on acute care prescribing. And by that, I mean prescribing for surgery, dentistry, emergency medicine, and in particular, those people coming in for care, many of whom, most of whom, are not taking opioids before they come in, and then are given opioids as a part of their post-procedural or post-care pain management. And we're interested in helping shepherd those people through a path and applying a preventative narrative to decrease or even eliminate new chronic use, new addiction, and the spill of excess pills into our community through overprescribing.
I'm wondering if physicians are going to be open to that kind of advice. I mean, after all, they know their patients, they've worked with them. What are you going to tell them that they don't already know?
I think the way we message this is incredibly important, and we have been very fortunate through Michigan Open to leverage a network of physicians funded by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan had the foresight over a decade ago to put together collaboratives of doctors and nurses from around our state coming together on a regular basis to talk about quality. And those networks have built a sense of trust and a want to do well for our patients. And we've leveraged that network. I think it's also critical that we tell doctors in a way that is not judgmental. I'm a pain physician. I'm an anesthesiologist. I view myself as part of the problem. But I also think that I have concepts and our team has concepts for how to do better and to do well for our patients. And I think physicians, when told and taught in a non-judgmental way, are incredibly receptive because everybody who came into medicine really does want to care for patients in the best way possible.
There are reports that after surgery, patients have been prescribed 50 doses or more of opioids, when in most cases only a few pills might be necessary. Why have these painkillers been overprescribed if they're so addictive?
I think it's a complicated question, but to unravel it, I think that we didn't really fully appreciate how addictive opioids were for some time.
Were they oversold by the pharmaceutical companies?
Definitely, and I think that that's been very clearly articulated, and there's a lot of great lay press articles out there about that mismarketing and downplaying the addictive nature of that. So that's a part of it. I believe, though, that when you look at it, sadly, in 2017, we still don't know how many pills you need after I send you home. And that seems crazy, but the truth is that I give you a prescription, I send you home, and unless I specifically ask you how many pills you take, there is no way for me to know. And so some of that overprescribing has been through lack of understanding, lack of guidelines, but also a want to keep people happy. Satisfaction's an important factor, and we at one point had tied payment to satisfaction. That's now gone, but physicians still care about satisfaction to drive new referrals. I also believe that physicians, and in particular surgeons, are concerned about calls for refill. I don't want my staff to be burdened by patients constantly calling, and it's become more challenging. Can't phone those in anymore. Our group has done a number of studies, though, that shows that there's no association, that the number of pills prescribed isn't associated with a person's satisfaction or their likelihood to refill. And so while those concepts are understandable, they just don't hold up to data.
A lot of people deal with pain in very different ways. Some people want to, I'm exaggerating here, but take these pills by the handfuls. Others are wary of them. Some just want to say, well, you know, I've got Tylenol or I've got ibuprofen. So how do you deal with that when there's so many different reactions to receiving a bottle of pills?
It's a great question, and I believe that our approach is structured the right way. Our first steps through Michigan Open are largely focused on getting providers to prescribe what are more reasonable numbers that actually still attend to that person's needs and still...
What's a reasonable number?
Well, a reasonable number is going to vary depending upon the surgery. But for context, while we traditionally gave 50 pills for gallbladder surgery, most people take 6 or 0. And so getting down to prescribing 10 or less is, I think, where we're going. Maybe even only giving a couple pills for surgeries like that for the first night and thinking about other ways to manage pain. For a more major surgery, that could be 45 or 50 pills. Right now, though, if you look across our state, many patients would get 100 pills for a case like that. And so it is still about reducing that number of pills and still being attentive to that patient's care. I do believe, though, that we need to be thoughtful about how we attend to the individual, that you and I are probably different as we think about pain or response to those medications. And we have a precision health initiative at the University of Michigan that is going to drive at that question. We are interested in what is the individual response to pain, what is the individual need when it comes to opioids. But right now, that question is going to be harder to understand. And there's some really low-hanging fruit with respect to just getting appropriate prescribing across our state and stopping this excess.
Let's talk about the people who are already addicted to opioids. You're working with doctors. Will you be working with the, let's say, addicts directly as well?
We've had some great groups and great collaborations already. We've been doing some work with the Families Against Narcotics, a really incredible organization that has a number of chapters around our state. People who have had histories who have opioid addiction themselves, and then family members of people who have been lost to addiction. We've done some really neat work with them to try to think about how to reach young kids, including working with the School of Music here at the University of Michigan, which I think is going to have some incredible opportunities. I believe that
In what way? Explain that. I'm not sure I'm following you on that.
Sure. I'm glad you asked. We actually brought some folks in from Families Against Narcotics to tell their stories to about 40 kids in the School of Voice and School of Theater. And those kids have actually already gone on to write at least 3 songs. And our plan, our really novel and hopefully impactful plan, is to create about 30 minutes of creative content with about a 15-minute talkback that would be targeted at middle schools in our state. And I can tell you, this is the best way forward is how do we engage these kids through contemporary music and rap, something that'll make them listen. They don't want to listen to Old Man Brummett come in and tell them not to do drugs. That's not going to be an effective way to reach a middle schooler. But through creative content, music and rap, if we can get their attention, then hopefully we can actually tell them on a preventative side, hey, these are addictive medications, because right now kids don't believe they're addictive because they were prescribed by a physician. They view heroin as addictive, but they don't view prescription opioids as addictive. We have to change that narrative.
What can be done for someone who's already hooked on these pills? We hear about these deaths, like I mentioned at the top of the interview, something like 90 a day in the U.S. I have no idea how many in Michigan, but you know, I'm sure it's proportionate to the rest of the states. So is there something you can tell them right now? We can get you help. We can get you switched to something that will ease you off opioids?
Sure. Michigan Open is largely focused on prevention and an upstream approach. However, there's a number of really important efforts, including some here at the University of Michigan and nationally, looking at best practices and ways to manage opioid addiction. And I think these are incredibly important and certainly part of a healthy national narrative. I believe that treatment and full treatment, not just medications, but also behavioral treatment, is, in my opinion, the best way forward. But the first step is to actually get help. And I will credit actually law enforcement here for really being flexible in the way that they think and starting to work to not criminalize this as much and try to get people who present for care to get help. And there's a group, part of the Families Against Narcotic effort is Hope Not Handcuffs. You can walk into a law enforcement office and say, I need help. And they will get you in touch with one of their angels. The angels will then place you into treatment. Now, that's not our program, but I hear things like that, and I'm moved. I think that's compelling.
And a lot of municipalities have picked up on that. So Michigan Open wants to cut opioid usage in half in Michigan. How long do you think that will take?
It's hard to really fully say how long this will take. I think we're having some immediate impact. I can tell you that right now across our state, using these platforms, these Blue Cross Blue Shield funded platforms, we've been able to really reach a general surgery and vascular surgery audience. Now working with our orthopedic surgeons and knee and hip replacement, our urologists, I think we'll have some really incredible impact in surgery in the next couple of years, really. Maybe even things that will be palpable this year. We are starting some exciting new work with dentistry as well, certainly an area that needs focus. Opioids are still given for 75% of kids that have a wisdom tooth removal, but the reality is that there's really not clear data that they're any better than just taking some ibuprofen and Tylenol, and yet there's a higher likelihood of that kid going on to becoming a new user if they're given that opioid, and those are new data that are pending from our group.
We've been talking about a new program called Michigan Opioid Prescribing Engagement Network, or Michigan OPEN for short. Dr. Chad Brummett is the director of the Division of Pain Research and director of clinical research in the Department of Anesthesiology at the University of Michigan. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.